This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Chicago-area keyboard player Neil Francis says he turned on to rootsy New Orleans and Chicago music at a very young age, younger than most musicians. Francis brings that blues, boogie-woogie, and even jazz and funk to Jazz Up Front tonight in downtown Bloomington when he shows off songs from his upcoming album. He spoke to us via Skype this week about his music and how he initially gravitated to blues music.
I just really love the rhythm. You know, anything I heard off the television, I was just trying to mimic on the piano at the time. I started playing piano when I was 4, and then someone kind of noticed that I was gravitating towards blues, and they suggested, you know, those Otis Band recordings and Pinetop Perkins. And then my piano teacher for a while was Erwin Helfer, and he's a fantastic boogie-woogie blues and jazz piano player in the Lincoln Park neighborhood of Chicago, and he's lived there for probably close to 50 years now. And
well, you can catch him at Catarina's, you can catch him at Andy's, right? Still on a regular basis? Does he still play there?
I know he plays a weekly thing at Barrel House Flats. He also plays at the Hungry Brain every week.
Yeah, he's one of those unsung names in Chicago that if you're in Chicago, you might know that name, but maybe not a lot of people outside Chicago. But boy, he is a legendary keyboard player in Chicago.
Yeah, and recently I inherited my dad's record collection, so he gave me a copy of the Howlin' Wolf London sessions with, like, you know, Eric Clapton and Steve Winwood on it.
Sure.
In the liner notes, they thank Erwin Helfer, and, you know, I have yet to ask him what that was about, but
I did not know that. I never caught that. That's a that's a great catch.
Crazy.
Yeah, they called me the rock. I can really rock your
Before I get to your new music, Neil, I'd like to ask you about the band you played in for a while called The Herd. I mean, you formed that band, right?
Actually, Taras Horolowski and Mike Starr formed the band a couple years before I joined. You know, we really started gelling and writing songs together probably in like 2012.
Well, I want to play a little bit from the eponymous 2015 album so listeners can get an idea of what The Herd sounds like. This was a mostly instrumental band, right? This is playing a lot of funk and jazzy stuff and rock and mixing it all together.
Definitely. Mostly instrumental. Used to tour with like a 6 or 7 piece band, depending on who was available.
Well, what I find really interesting is the number of bands over the last, I don't know if it's 4, 5, 6 years, of relatively younger artists that are making instrumental music popular again. We had Moon Hooch come through here a couple of years ago, and you know, they're having a ball. But there's a band that you guys used to tour with, New Master Sounds. There's the Budos band, the Poets of Rhythm, all the, you know, those bands on Daptone. What is it about instrumental music that has made such a comeback maybe in the last 10 years or so?
Well, man, you know, I think a lot of us in college, you know, I never went to school for music, but certainly Mike and Taras fell in love with the music of the Meters early on. You know, independently, I was a big fan of the Meters, and so we kind of bonded over that early on, that instrumental funk from the late 60s and early 70s. And then certainly listening to the bands that came before us, like the Master Sounds, gave us the idea that we could do this. You know, I think it's just a love for that sound, that like raw combination of jazz and rock elements that became those early funk recordings that everybody's trying to mimic. You know, Krangbin is another band that's really putting their own spin on that instrumental funk.
Let's talk about another tour. Our guest is Neil Francis at Jazz Up Front Friday night. You ended up on the road with one of the sons of Muddy Waters. Was that Big Bill or was that Mud Morganfield?
It was Mud Morganfield.
Well, you talked as a young age that you were into these old blues guys, and I'm guessing Muddy was one of them, right? So did you have some nice conversations with Mud about his father?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, he's a wealth of history himself, and you know, the guys he had in his band at the time, you know, Rick Crayer had actually played with Muddy Waters, and you know, Omar Coleman, another guy on the Chicago blues scene. You know, they all taught me a lot about other guys to get into, and I got way deeper into the music at that point just because, you know, I was in a position to learn it. You know, I had to learn the Muddy Waters catalog. That was most of what we were doing. So getting even deeper into that Otis band and Pine Top stuff. And
right, because they were Muddy's piano players back in the day. I mean,
yeah,
Pine Top replaced Otis band.
It's crazy how full circle things come. You know, I just, at one point I was playing with Willie Big Eye Smith, and he released that record Joined at the Hip with Pine Top. And that's a pretty crazy story too, because I was actually with Willie the day that Pine Top passed away.
Wow.
It was kind of crazy. The first show I actually went to when I was 12 was seeing Pine Top at Rose's Lounge on the West Side. And so to end up playing with Willie Smith was pretty cosmic, like serendipity.
Well, you've got a new album of your own coming out now. The single, These Are the Days, has been released. Let's play a little bit of that so folks can get an idea of what this sounds like. You said during the recording in Los Angeles that you learned to trust your instincts in that recording room. Can you explain how so? And had you not trusted your instincts before?
The recording process, it taught me so much as far as the instincts are concerned. You know, just really trusting the song was where it needed to be, and knowing when to put my foot down and when to be open to input from, I mean, Sergio's a fantastic producer, Sergio Rios of Orgone, and, you know, his suggestions were always really useful. So I guess what I meant by that was that trusting the songs, you know, that they were already written going into the studio, and then being open to, like, the production suggestions of Sergio when he would make them. I don't know if that answers your question. But.
Well, I just talked with Steve Albini. He's going to be in town as well the day you're in town.
You know, oh, right on.
Yes. So Steve's going to be speaking at Illinois State University. And I asked him about, he doesn't like being called a producer. He wants to be an audio engineer. And he specifically said, I don't produce. I want the band to know what they want when they come in. And I just make it sound good technically. Could you operate that way right now as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, all these songs were demoed out on my own. I would come into the studio here at Treehouse Records and, you know, record. You know, I would play every instrument on the recording, and those have their own vibe. And then bringing it to Sergio's studio, like, you know, I knew what type of sound he was able to achieve, and that's why I selected him as a partner to work with, you know. I knew it was going to sound like, you know, a 1973 vibe, you know.
Well, I think you nailed my favorite year of music, 1973. I was, what, 14, 15 years old. And anyway, there were some really good, cool things going on in the late 60s, early 70s with all these different sounds coming together, right? Whether it's jazz and blues and funk and rock and all these different sounds. And everyone was trying to meld all of these sounds at that time, and some really interesting things were coming out of music at that time.
That's exactly it, man. That's the, you know, the lightning in a bottle I'm trying to capture is that exact era when funk, rock, blues, soul, all those things coming together. You know, that's the type of party I want to create. It's funny you mentioned Steve Albini, because the worst job I ever worked in my life was across the street from Electrical Audio, and I used to just like look through the fence across there and be like, damn, like I need to be across the street right now, you know, not in this basement pushing paper. So It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's kind of funny. Well, now you're in the game again.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, Neil, it's great talking to you. And the one song I'm hearing I really like, I like that what's going on with The Herd, but I really like what's going on with your new song, and I can't wait to hear the whole album. If you're talking about an early 1970s vibe with all these different sounds, this sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, John, it's been really nice talking to you as well, and looking forward to releasing the rest of this material.